Sox.
Go, go,
go, go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
The first White Sox Weekly in the new studio. The pressure is on, Harry Tynowitz. This is way too nice of digs for me. I would assume you feel the same way. I'm a little confused as to how everything works, so hopefully we'll have a seamless broadcast. I have all the faith in the world that Dan Long will have things operating in a level that has never been operated before out of this microphone in this new studio. What do you think?
I think it's all very, very possible, and more importantly, I think that the White Sox need to find a way to get a win tonight. Last night was bad. Last night, you know, was scoreless, then the second inning happened, then it was 7-0.
Yeah, last night was not the best for Dylan Covey, and that's disappointing because, you know, you're talking about a guy that you thought was perhaps, you know, showing up as somebody who could be...
Oh, he looked so good. That outing he had Fenway, he had several strong outings.
Right, but last night, 2 1/3, 8 hits, 9 runs, 8 earned, walked 3, gave up 4 home runs. None of those home runs were cheapies either. Rarely a home run is, but these balls were launched. And I don't know, he had the hip injury where he left, and he was kind of kicking at it, and then they said originally it was a hip, and then it was a groin. And Ricky Renteria said after the game last night that there was nothing wrong. It was not a physical thing. He just had a bad night. So, and these things happen. But, game 2 of 3, game set with the Rangers tonight. And we'll see. Carlos Rodon on the mound. You can't even think about wins and losses. I know that's... I don't even think it's hard, actually, for fans, Harry. I think the fans know exactly where the White Sox are at and how they're doing their rebuild. And they're not looking at, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, 312-981-7200 if you want, but I don't think people are looking at wins and losses. I think they're looking at individual players and how they're coming along, and i.e. Carlos Rodon on the mound tonight. Can the lefty look healthy and have a back-to-back performance, and that makes you feel good as a White Sox more than even getting a victory would tonight. I think that's basic.
I could not agree more, and that's why the Dylan Covey thing was sort of disappointing last night, because Giolito looked better in September last year than he's looked so far. You know, Carson Fulmer looked in September like he was going to be like a stud in the rotation. I don't know when he'll be back up again. And, it's very frustrating to have a game like that. But I agree that I think people are looking at individuals and what they will do and are they getting better. That's what you want to see. Is you just want to see guys getting better, figuring it out. And it's a team that's, you know, got 18 All-Stars in the minors. So, you know, there's a lot of help coming. And it's not going to be this year. You'll see a couple guys up here at some point. I think if they move James Shields, you know, a certain Mr. One of two guys will come up. Maybe one of three guys will come up. But, no, right now people don't care about the record. They just want to see improvement from the individuals.
Our own Kevin Powell with the big tweet this week. Did you see that? Kevin Powell putting out their trade James Shields from the Chicago White Sox to the Chicago Cubs, which would be Jose Quintana, Dylan Cease, Eloy Jimenez, part two. I don't think it would be quite the same deal, but it actually would make a lot of sense. You know, back in the day, Harry, I don't know, when we had the sports station here, myself and a lot of people speculated that Quintana to the Cubs made a ton of sense for both sides. And nobody thought, oh, no, the White Sox would ever do that. The White Sox would ever do that. Well, the White Sox did that, and the White Sox are thrilled they did that. I mean, if the Cubs could redo that deal, I think they'd rewind back.
I think they wouldn't.
You don't think they would? Really?
No, I don't think they would do that deal again.
No, they would not. No way they would. The White Sox, I mean, that's an A-plus trade for the Sox. So if the White Sox can get a good prospect from the Cubs for James Shields, you make that move all day long. I think you get the best guy that you can for James Shields at the deadline.
The idea that the Cubs and Sox will not trade because, you know, why would the Sox want to help out the Cubs is ridiculous, and it's proven by that trade last summer, because even though Quintana was a big shot in the arm for the Cub last summer, Quintana brought wonderfulness to the White Sox, and Eloy Jimenez is a, you know...
Babe Ruth. Let's just start calling.
Well, he is going to, theoretically, knock on wood, hitting my head, Eloy Jimenez is going to be like, you know, an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I just called him Babe Ruth, so I'm telling you to walk that back, because yours, when I called him Babe Ruth, it didn't feel as real, but when you threw out MVP, that felt real to me. So let's just...
I'm saying he's not going to be like a seventh hitter who you hope hits 280. I mean, Eloy Jimenez is going to be a heart-of-the-order guy who pitchers are going to be incredibly careful, you know, what they throw to him, and, you know, whoever he hits behind is going to get protection, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few years. But, you know, I think Eloy can make his way up here this season.
Well, he had two hits last night and an RBI. The Charlotte Knights beat one of my favorite teams.
Who's that?
I shouldn't say favorite, because there are so many phenomenal minor league teams, Harry.
Yes, in terms of name?
These are the Gwinnett Stripers.
Yeah, okay, Stripers is fish.
That's just an out.
You're sure they're not the Gwinnett Strippers?
I'm pretty certain.
Because then they'd be one of my favorite teams.
Right, I had to look at that one three times over before I was like, it's got to be Stripers. Has to be Stripers. I'm going to go with Stripers. The Gwinnett Stripers. The Gwinnett Stripers. Can you imagine? I want a t-shirt. But the Charlotte Knights... last night, beat the Gwinnett Stripers 5-4. Eloy, to your point, right in that middle of that order, he was 2-for-3, run scored, sitting 286 now at Triple A, and he had his first homer a little bit a week ago. And the White Sox know what they're doing, right? To me, it looks like he's ready.
Yeah, it does. And you know, then you get into the whole thing about, are they worried about service time? You know, when you bring him up, that starts the contract ticking. Is it worth, because the record's not going to be great, is it worth not bringing him up this season? You'll have control over him for an extra season. But, you know, you think, how much would he benefit from getting to face, you know, MLB pitching? That would be a huge deal. And whoever they trade James Shields to, I know James Shields doesn't have a lot of wins. He's just got a couple. But James Shields is a big-game pitcher who has been a victim of defense. Boy, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about today, is how frustrating the defense is. You can't, you know, and Farmio and DJ talk about it all the time. You can't win if you can't catch the ball. But James Shields, you know, the other day, there's two outs, and it looks like the third out of the inning. It doesn't happen. Next pitch is a three-run shot, and they can't recover from it. Somebody out there will value James Shields enough to give the Sox something for him.
Yeah, and...
and at that point, you'll get to pick which pitcher you want to bring up.
Right, and he has been a guy that's been pretty outspoken. I am not here to talk about the rebuild. I'm talking about winning baseball games. And getting to know James Shields a little bit this year, at least... he is...
you two have breakfast every Wednesday when he's in town.
Tuesdays.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He loves your French toast.
He loves the French toast. He likes the bacon crispy, and I'm happy to provide that for James Shields. I didn't want to get all personal and have that out there, but...
couldn't disagree more with his bacon preference.
Are you serious?
Oh, who likes bacon crispy? Bacon soft.
You really... we are not aligned food-wise. I don't eat bananas like they're... like it's a cantaloupe. I don't. I go.
I eat bananas sideways because it lasts twice as long.
Okay. I mean,
you've never dealt with dietary issues.
That's not exactly true, but to your level, correct. You're still going to eat the whole banana.
Yes, I know, but you're eating it in twice the length. You know, twice the time.
So you,
if you get a banana and you spend 30 seconds eating the banana, you're going to want another banana right away. Right, and that Dan Long, our executive producer, will back me up on this.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will. Carm, when you have a banana and you take your time consuming it, and there's a great deal of foods that you cannot eat, you know, sideways, like corn on the cob, be one of them. You know, but like if you have a banana,
you could chop off every piece of corn if you want to elongate it out. You're like my brother,
like they do at the park.
Yes, the elotes at Guaranteed Rate Field is amazing. But they do it very quickly for you, and then it's all sitting there in a bowl and it's gone in 2 minutes. Not exactly what I'm talking about, but okay.
Right, no, but I mean, theoretically, corn on the cob takes a while to eat. If you're someone who's battled weight issues, and one of the things, I've done so much research, talked to so many people, one of the things is You know, can you slow down? You know, and people out there that have battled weight issues will hear me. And then please, you know, join us. I don't know if I'm allowed to give out the phone number, but...
You're allowed to give out the phone number.
Okay. 312-981-7200. If you eat too quickly, you eat more. Okay? So slow it down.
I'm going to take that actually under advisement. I can use that part. But I thought the banana was just some weird... It wasn't a food slowing down mechanism you were doing, but you just actually sort of enjoy the cantaloupean process that you do with your banana. What was your question for Dan Long?
So wait, the cantaloupean process, how is it like you wouldn't eat a cantaloupe sideways?
Right, you'd start, you'd like make a little smiley face, go back and forth, right? Unless you were going to cut it.
Make a smiley face in your cantaloupe? What the hell are you talking about?
That's how you do with a cantaloupe.
You get a cantaloupe, slice it in half, you scoop out the seeds, and you go to work.
No. You get like a little corn on the cob sized piece of cantaloupe.
So you cut it into like eighths?
Yeah. Nice.
Well, that would take longer than just doing it in two halves.
Right. It's a great start to White Sox Weekly, right? Your cantaloupe, bananas.
Well, I'll start it because you and James Shields have French toast every Tuesday when he's
right.
in town.
So my point of, good, thank you for helping me tie that all together. James Shields is awesome in the White Sox clubhouse.
He is a leader.
Absolutely. He was talking after his start this week. I was hearing him talk to a couple reporters. He was talking about how he couldn't get to bed until about, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, whatever it was, because after a game, there's just a ton of adrenaline. He's rethinking about the whole what went on and this pitch and that inning and this batter, and it takes him a while to wind down. Now, the White Sox, as we all know, are not exactly contending for a World Series right now. But here's a guy who still cares to that level that when he leaves the ballpark, he's still up to late in the night thinking about the outing, calming himself down, and then he can get some rest. That's the type of guy I don't think it necessarily makes sense for him to be here long term, but I love that about him. And the dude cares is the bottom line.
Well, that's what got him to the bigs. And the second he stops caring, he's not going to be in the bigs. But, I mean, James Shields' job is every 5 days to go on the hill and give his team a chance to win. And knowing what Rick Hahn is up to, James Shields could wake up in the morning and find himself on a first-place team pretty easily.
He could.
So, I mean, he wants to just do his thing. But if he's on the Sox the rest of the year, and he's happy being on the Sox the rest of the year, he needs to go out there. You know, a pitcher prepares. I always thought the best managers in baseball were catchers and then, probably pitchers because they're in on every play. They're in on every pitch, So, I mean, James Shields should be thinking about it. I like hearing that.
Yeah, and I think doing him right is trading him. I think he loves –
Well, you're not going to trade him to do him a solid. You're going to trade him to help your team.
I think it's a little bit of both. Because you're not going to get a ton for James Shields. But I think a guy like that who's been here and been a good soldier and he's in his middle 30s.
Good soldier is getting $900 million a month.
He's not struggling. That's true. And
so, well-paid soldier.
He is. I'm not throwing any
enlist?
I'm not throwing any pity parties for James Shields.
Yeah.
But I do think you
and he's Aaron Rowan's cousin, so how cool is that?
I do think you just do right by the player, though. Let him pitch for a contender. If a contender wants him.
Usually I'm the Pollyanna one on the air, but they're not going to say, like, oh, can we have James? I asked Phil Jackson once. We used to have him on the air every week, and I asked Phil when we were on with Johnny B., who's going into the Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
Rightly so. You congratulating me? I have nothing to do with it.
No, Johnny B.
Okay. So we had Phil Jackson every week. And I said, last week of the season, we had him on the day of the last game of the year. I said, why don't you treat this game? And this is during the Jordan era. I don't know if you remember the Jordan era.
I perhaps remember just a little bit, yes.
Okay. So this is like 1997. This would have been April of 97.
Okay.
And I said, why don't you treat tonight's game like it's senior night in college and give Judd Bushler a start? He has been the good soldier. When you need to have a guy on your roster, Judd comes down with plantar fasciitis. Judd will play, as hard as you want, whether he plays 20 seconds a game or 20 minutes a game. I go, why don't you reward these guys? And he just laughed his Montana butt off.
as he should have. That's totally different.
Why is that different?
Because Judd Bushler gets to play. If he gets to play for 3 minutes, that
why couldn't he start? I'm talking about letting a guy start, letting a guy have his name, you know, heard from Arizona, and you knew he was from Arizona, right?
Of course.
And what former White Sox was on that team with him?
What former White Sox?
How about that?
Was on his basketball team?
At Arizona.
I don't have.
Can
that.
We take a tax? Can we take?
Sure. No one's going to pull that, but if somebody,
everybody's going to pull it.
All right, 312-981-7200.
With Steve Kerr and Judd Bushler,
who was on? What former White Sox was? Oh, Kenny Lofton.
Yes.
On that team.
Yes.
I should have let it out there. Oh well, my bad. Bring your family of four to a White Sox game for as low as $49. Our family four pack includes four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips. And for sodas, upper level and lower level packages available. Check out all of the available dates at whitesox.com/4packs today. And pick Pito to represent your Chicago White Sox at the 2018 All-Star Game. Help send Jose Abreu to Washington, D.C. this summer. Voting ends on July 5th, so be sure to vote today. Visit whitesox.com/vote to submit your All-Star ballot. We can actually talk about Pito coming back, and there was a major, major moment out at Guaranteed Rate Field this week that we need to discuss coming on back here. Fathers, sons, fathers of the year, maybe questionable parenting. All that is straight ahead. And we've got a ton of guests for you as well on the show. Daniel Palka is going to join us. Roger Bosser, the Sod Father, will be here. And James Fagan from The Athletic will be here. We're going to hear from Adam Hoge also, who threw out a first pitch this week at Guaranteed Rate Field and actually threw a strike. It was maybe the most amazing thing I've ever seen as far as Adam Hoge's athletic career is concerned. That's for sure.
Well, didn't he go to Wisconsin on a full ride?
I did not have a full ride. Quick timeout, White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. WGN White Sox Weekly. Great to be with you. My name is Mark Harmon. His name is Harry Tynowitz. Join us on July 11th for Game Changers. That's Latinos in Sports Business. It's presented by Modelo and St. Xavier University. The event features photo ops with White Sox great Jose Contreras, insight from sports industry professionals, which means Harry's going to be there, and networking opportunities. Tickets include the pregame panel, upper terrace suite tickets, food, and Sox swag. Visit whitesox.com/gamechangers for tickets and information. All right, we don't have a lot of time here, so we're going to have to do this after the 4:30 news. But what were you doing earlier this week, Harry, when there was a 1 hour and 48-minute rain delay at Guaranteed Rate Field on Tuesday night?
I hung out with some friends. We were waiting. We were waiting. There was no baseball, so we just kind of hung out and chatted. I learned history.
Well, that's a beautiful thing.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, I'm watching the game, and actually, I got called in to do potential. If there's another rain delay, you might have to come on the air. So I'm sitting here at WGN, and I'm watching the Sox game, and it's 10:45 at night, and they're back playing, and they're showing the crowd, and a lot of people have left.
Right, that's the game where the first pitch wasn't thrown until like 10 minutes to 9.
Right. Hour and 48-minute delay to start the game. So, you know, your original 7:10 turned into 9 o'clock. And so I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, there's a dad, and he's with an 8-year-old. And I'm like, how is that possible? It's 11. And you had to have sat through a 2-hour rain delay with your 8-year-old who has probably, I don't know, camp or something tomorrow. And I'm thinking to myself, young Mark Harmon, there is no way that Papa Fred would have sat there for 2 hours with me in the rain and hung out. And we would have been back home. We would have gone to, I don't know, you know, we've gone to some Jewish deli for dinner.
Salmon Highs.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, we would have gone to Jack's on Tui, R.I.P.
Yeah, may it rest in peace.
Which is, you know, now a Starbucks. So
everything's a Starbucks.
It's unbelievable. So I'm sitting there like, is this good parenting, or you know, is this questionable parenting, or is this dad of the year level stuff?
Well, you gotta get your facts. We need our facts, okay? If it's the school year, it's an awful choice, because your kid has to be up and at school early the next morning. So if it's school year, it's a bad choice. We don't know if that kid is lucky enough to be going to camp. We don't know if that kid goes to 20 games a year, or if this is the only Sox game.
Right.
What if it's the only Sox game that this kid gets to attend all year?
Right.
What if the parents are divorced and the dad only has custody of him so many nights or so many days a year, and this is when he can take him to the game?
312-981-7200. Staying with your kid, is this dad of the year, or is it questionable parenting? 312-981-7200. 11 o'clock at night, 2 hour rain delay. You're still out there with your son. 312-981-7200. Dad of the year, A. Questionable Parenting, B. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. All right, we're looking for Sox fans who sat out the two-hour rain delay on Tuesday night, maybe made it to the end. We should have a gift for him, Harry. Seriously.
Yeah. What do you want to give him?
I don't know. I don't know what we have, what's available for us right now as far as giveaways, but I don't know. Maybe out of my own pocket I could come up with something of value. 312-981-7200. Perhaps not. But here was the thing. I was watching the game on Tuesday night, the two-hour rain delay. Mm-hmm. There's probably, I don't know, 2,000 people left in the park, whatever it is. And there's a dad with his son. And the kid looks like to me about 8 years old, 9 years old. And I'm questioning, is that the dad of the year right there, or is that questionable parenting? Shouldn't he be home? I mean, I know there's moms out there thinking, Richard, Fred, Robert, can you please bring home Billy? Because it's 11 o'clock at night, and he doesn't need to be at the White Sox game right now.
Well, again, we don't know any of the details, okay? If it's during the school year...
Well, we know some of the details. We know that they were there, and it was 11 at night. We know that.
Right, but, you know, this could be the only time, you know, you come... We're very lucky. We get to go to a lot of games.
We are.
Okay? This son...
But as a kid, I did not... There's no chance that would have happened. We would get Bulls tickets back in the day. You know, they...
Yes. Do you have a great story about a rain delay at the Bulls game?
No, but we would get offered tickets on a weeknight. My dad would say, no, can't go on a weeknight. You got school.
Oh, so you couldn't even go to a game at the normal start time.
Right. No chance.
Oh,
not on a weeknight.
Well, see, we got to go.
And I was a terrible student anyway. What was the difference? But go ahead, yeah.
One of the only good things about having your parents separated and then divorced back in the 70s, because that's before it was like, you know, the norm, is that, you know, we'd see dad twice a week. And it always meant that on Tuesday or Wednesday, we'd go to a game. And so we would get to go to a Bulls game on the week. If it were a Bulls game, dad knew Red Motlow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, who was Red Motlovitz. So dad knew Red Motlow, who was the public announcer.
Marshall High School.
Yes, Marshall Commandos.
Yeah.
And he would always say it was one of our birthdays. So we got to go to the game, and it'd be one of our birthdays, and it was awesome. But then after the game, we'd have to get right back home because we had school the next day. It's not school. It's the summer.
Right, but it's a kid who's like not supposed to be staying up till 11 o'clock.
But what? Look.
But by the time he gets home, it's like 1 a.m.
Okay, what if his folks are divorced and his dad only gets to see him one or two nights?
Well, then they could have spent 3 hours having dinner and doing things, and then he gets to take Billy home.
He said, hey, you know what? Tuesday night, the 26th, the 26th of June, that'll be our Sox game this summer.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go see the Sox play on Tuesday night against the Twins. They'll probably win the first two games of that series and lose a really frustrating third game, you know, in 13 innings when they walk in a run. But... We don't know any of the details, Carm. I think this dad is an excellent dad. This 8-year-old kid is going to remember it for the rest of his life.
I'm in the question. I'm not calling him a bad father at all.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just telling you that is not how it would have gone for me. 312-981-7200. And you can, you know, question, you know, how I've turned out. That would be a fair question, I suppose.
You turned out great.
To some.
You turned out great.
God bless you, Harry. So did you. By the way, they're texting us on the old text line, 312.
Let's take a few phone calls first, and then we'll go read some texts.
All right, 312-981-7200. No, somebody called us the odd couple. We're the odd couple. Which I mean, it's fun to be a couple with you, Harry.
It is
just
fun.
Just so you know.
I'm not used to being a couple anymore.
Stop.
You know?
Stop.
I used to. No, let me finish a joke.
Okay.
I used to be a couple drinks over my limit.
Good.
Yeah.
That's progress right there. Right. Hey, Beatrice, welcome to 720 WGN White Sox Weekly, and we're talking about dads and sons at 11 o'clock at night on a weeknight during the summer. It says up here you've got a great memory looking back. Welcome to the show, Beatrice.
Hey, I was just going to say that as long as the kid was happy and he and his dad were having a great time, that I think they're just making a memory that they're going to talk about in 20 years. I think that, you know, any time you spend with your child and something like that happens and it makes it memorable, as long as you were both happy and you're doing your thing and it's right now, so there isn't any school going on, I think yay for the dad and yay for the kid for toughing it out and making a memory together. So that's my opinion. Well, I've had four kids, so I think any time that you have little strange things happen in life and you make the best of them and you hang out together and just spend quality time, you're building your relationship. So, and that's the most important thing. That's what you remember in 20 years.
Beatrice, what would have been the cutoff? What happens if they were starting the game at 10:30? Would you? Does he still get Dad of the Year?
It depends. I think that you would just base it on how the child is. I mean, if the son is having a great time and he doesn't want to go, and you're having a great time together, but if the kid's, you know, saying, "Hey, Dad, I just can't take this anymore," then I think you take that situation and make it into the best thing that it can be. But as long as you're both happy,
and Beatrice,
ride the wave.
Beatrice, I'm with you all the way. We appreciate your phone call, Beatrice. Now, here's the
thing.
Hold on, before you hang up on her.
Okay.
Beatrice, I think because Carm and Chelsea haven't had any kids yet, I think he's not able to gauge how cool it is to have something that wasn't planned like this happen. And it's kind of, you don't want it to happen. Nobody wants a rain delay. But this kid, this 8-year-old, 20 years from now, Beatrice is absolutely right. He's going to go, "Dad, remember?
Yeah.
Remember that night?" And he might not even remember that the Sox won that game, but he'll remember that he and his dad were at the Sox game, and they stayed even though it was raining.
Beatrice, you're talking about happiness. I'd be really happy, Dad, if you bought me another ice cream. I mean, at what point do you, you know, you got to have a standard. Son, I know you want to stay at the White Sox game, but your functionability tomorrow is really important. We'll go to another game, and hey, we're gonna have a great time in the car on the way home. We can listen to whatever music you want.
Well, that's when you make a decision as a parent. I think that's when you make a decision as to whether what's going on the next day is really more important than what you're doing together right then. And I mean, another ice cream cone, big deal. I mean, get another ice cream cone, make the best of the situation. And if your child and you were having a good time, you can make the decision in that moment. Are we going to enjoy the rest of the game? And yeah, if you have something tomorrow, what's more important, right now or tomorrow? And you can make that decision together. I think that it's not, at 8 years old, it's not, you know, it's, you start at a young age to discuss things, talk them out with a child, teach them to reason with you, and come about, you know, good decisions in whatever situation that you're in.
Right.
And that just builds a more confident child, I think. So
I hope I meet you one night at Guaranteed Rate Field during a rain delay, Beatrice.
Beatrice, you're awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. There's Beatrice. She would stay till 3 in the morning if circumstances aligned. God bless her. That's awesome.
And again, it's each kid is a little different.
Yeah, let's try Bob here. It says up here he's 100% in favor of staying. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys, I'm going to make my point at the end. I can only tell you from my childhood, my dad probably was only to take us to a game a year, and it was between a rock and a hard spot. We wanted to be at the park as late as we could, but we knew that if it went really late, my dad wouldn't stop at Gertie's and Lindy's over on Archer to get ice cream on the way home. Here's my point. I want you both to tell me what time the Sox game starts tonight in Texas.
8 o'clock.
8:05.
Okay, so at 11 o'clock, is that game still going most likely or not?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, guys. Hey, we only live once, and if it's a family, a dad and his son that can only do it one or two times a year, let him stay and have fun. If he falls asleep, then pick him up and go home.
I'm with you.
All right.
Bob, good call. That makes me...
Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What would be your ice cream of choice coming home from the Sox game when you hit Lindy's?
I don't know. He would kind of wouldn't let us have chocolate because my mom would scream at him because it would be all over our clothes. But whatever. I don't know. Strawberry, vanilla. I mean, I'm not trying to sound old, but there weren't the choices there are today. I can tell you that for sure.
Bob, appreciate it.
Okay.
You should have gone for the chocolate and just gone messy. Harry just got super offended by that. It's all right. People want to talk about this, so do we. 312-981-7200. James Fegan from The Athletic is after 5 o'clock. We'll have Daniel Polka on the show. We'll have Roger Bossert on the show. Busy show for you as we discuss proper parenting at Chicago White Sox baseball games at Guaranteed Rate Field on 720 WGN. 720 WGN White Sox Weekly. Everyone's against me on the text line here, 708. Carm, seriously, they probably ate, walked around, and bonded. I'm sure they had a great time. 815, Carm, you are ridiculous. The kids' entire plans for the next day probably involve playing in the pool. It's summer vacation. It's when you get to do fun stuff like that you never get to do otherwise. Dad was great for sticking it out with his son. Wait till you have a child, and you will get it. If not, I'm sad for your child. Somebody's already sad for my potential child someday.
Can you read that last one again, like you're announcing the Bears game? Read it like Jeff. The Carm, you are ridiculous.
Carm, you... And I can. You do it. Give me a...
Carm, you are ridiculous.
That's awesome. 847, Mark is an idiot. It's a summer night, and the kid's enjoying baseball with his dad. Get over yourself.
God, why would your father text the show?
It's unbelievable. Now we got people texting about if Donald Trump was the dad. Don't need to do that.
What? Yeah. What?
Jordan.
How did they make that jump?
773 is my favorite text of the day. Jordan would let his kid stay. LeBron would take his kid home early. That's awesome. Thank you. I normally have a strong take on things. Here I'm in the middle. I'm just telling you, as a kid, for me growing up, there's no way I would have been at that baseball game at 11 o'clock with my family. We would have been home. We wouldn't have gone.
Which is even more the reason why you should appreciate the fact that his dad was at this game.
I do appreciate it. And I sit there and think, yeah, at some point, what did they say the entire nine? It ended at 12:20.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting home at 2 in the morning? I don't know. Maybe I need to lighten up. Maybe I should lighten up. No big deal. Kids can stay out late. I'll tell you one thing. My niece, who is 11, there's no way I would have been able to keep her. Parents would have been on that phone. Hey, when is she going to be home at 10:15? There's no way I would have been allowed to keep her out that late. And I would have liked to. I would have probably pushed for like an 11 o'clock drop off. I would have gone for the 11.
Carm, you don't
have to,
you don't have your kid at a casino. You're at the Sox game. You're getting a hot dog. How often do you get out to the Sox game? Come on.
312-981-7200. Father sits through a two-hour Randalay Tuesday night. Is he dad of the year or is it questionable parenting if you're just joining the show? We go by how long you've been on hold here, so that means Rich is up. What's up, Rich? Welcome to 720 WGN and White Sox Weekly.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, first off, I feel sorry for you. I hope you didn't grow up with any psychological problems.
We all have those, Rich. Let's not kid ourselves.
You know that. But I can see both sides. But 10 years ago, I probably would have answered it a little bit differently. I probably would have said, maybe not. But you know what? Now I live for today, and the only exception would be if I knew that he had a major test the next day. No, he wouldn't have even went. But with the exception of that, no, it's a father and son situation. You never know when you're going to live that situation and have that experience again.
Cool.
You know?
Dad of the year, that's your vote, Rich. I got you. Appreciate you.
Thanks. All right. Take care.
All right.
Do you remember a group called the Grassroots?
Do I remember the Grassroots?
Yes.
By name, but couldn't name one song.
Sha-la-la-la-la, live for today.
Sha-la-la-la, live for today. Sha-la-la-la, live for today.
Head to the park on Sunday, July 15th, as the Sox take on the Royals at 1:10 p.m. All kids ages 13 and under will take home a play ball pitch grip baseball to teach them how to properly throw the most common major league pitches. To purchase tickets, visit WhiteSox.com today.
Quick timeout, right back at you. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. WGN White Sox Weekly. James Fegan from The Athletic coming up after 5 o'clock. Daniel Palka will be joining the show after James. And Roger Bosser will be with us all before 6. And then this turns into The Beat, where at about 6:10 you're going to hear the greatest song that's ever been produced in the history of mankind, outside of any song that Harry's ever done or any other song, period. But we're still going
to
play it.
People need to go see the song. It is a terrific song by Mark Carman. It is for LBJ, who's got the Decision 2 going on right now. And fan-sided, helped him create this video. It reminded me of The Cars, You Might Think. That's how well produced it is.
It was incredibly well produced by a one Richard Durante. You can go to, you can friend me on Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page. It's there. You can hit me up on Twitter at The Carm. Don't hit up Andy Mazur, who's already here for pregame and doesn't like the song, and he's shaking his head at me right now because he's a rude, just despicable person who I
I will point something out, though.
Deeply care about.
He's here 2.5 hours before he needs to be on the air.
Maybe that's
something that one of us could learn from.
Mazur, you love the song.
It's like an earworm. It will never leave your brain. And the thought of watching all the different wardrobe changes for Carm, I mean, they must have spent $15-$20 on it.
That's exactly what we spent.
Do you think that he already owned those clothes?
God, I hope so.
No, I absolutely do not.
I wanted him in the LeBron mask.
That would have been good.
Well, I appreciate your support even in the way...
I did watch it, right?
I handed it to
you. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and forced you to watch it, but you did.
I couldn't stop watching it. You got to see this. It's Carm singing Bee Gees. Well, I don't want to spoil it. It's awesome. And word out of Akron is LeBron loves it.
That's what I'm hearing. The whole family is LeBron Jr.'s in on it,
right?
The whole thing. And really... it speaks to the heart. Hey, we appreciate the conversation on White Sox Weekly about the fun at the ballpark this week. People staying through the rain delay with their children. That's awesome. So thank you for jumping in. We're going
to sorry we didn't get to you that we didn't get to.
Those who we did not get to, Leanne, Larry, we love you. But we're moving along to our guy, James Fegan, coming up after the 5 o'clock news.
Wow, what a play!
720 WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
WGN, White Sox Weekly. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Stay cool out there. Harry, did I tell you that I was on the court at 8 a.m. this morning, battling it out in the Shoreline Tennis League?
Nice. And was that indoors or outdoors?
That would be outdoors, sweat through and sweat through and sweat through, T-shirt after T-shirt. Borderline got heat stroke. Had to take a 2-hour nap just to be here today and be functional for the show, for myself, for you, for White Sox fans, for James Fegan from The Athletic, who we're going to talk to in a minute. All that happened, and I lost 7-5-6-3.
I'm sorry. How old was the grandpa that beat you?
He was about 10 years older than me, and that I really should have had a huge edge in the heat. Thank you for bringing that up. It reminds me of the fact that there was an older gentleman on the court aside from me and across from me, and he had more will than I did today. All right, moving along.
You know, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Bill Leff, who is very, very good tennis player.
He's
good with all racket sports. Excellent ping pong player.
True.
Don't ever play him for money in ping pong.
I've played him in ping pong. The guy's amazing. Yes,
he says you're fabulous tennis player.
Well, that's very nice of him. And true and accurate.
Okay.
James Fegan from The Athletic, who does a great job covering the White Sox, joins us on White Sox Weekly. James, were you playing 2 hours of tennis today thinking about White Sox baseball?
I have to admit that I was not, sadly enough.
But you could. You were sitting back. All right, let's talk about what matters. And James Shields really has been good all season long. A blip here, a blip there, but he's been solid. You look at his record, and that's not good, but I think everybody realizes that James Shields has sort of figured out a way to pitch. The question is, do you think he goes before the deadline, and if he does, what can the White Sox expect to get back? Mid-level prospect at best is what people seem to think, but where are you at on this, James?
I see it kind of similar to the Miguel Gonzalez trade last year, and also in the sense of that happening after the July deadline and then the August deadline, where it's more rationalization of this guy is better than our whatever we're throwing out every fifth day as our fifth starter, so why not make the deal and improve it for such a low cost? Mid-level prospect is kind of a vague definition, but I would say somebody who's probably stalled or doesn't have their way in his current team's plans, like say a Ryan Cortell or Tequan Forbes who came up for Miguel Gonzalez, somebody who maybe the White Sox like to take a flyer on and add the organization for some depth, but I wouldn't say anything around a core piece or an impact level prospect.
Right, and they got Tequan Forbes for for Miguel Gonzalez last year. He actually was a triple shy of the cycle last night for the Winston-Salem Dash, and he's a little old to be a Winston-Salem, but perhaps there's something there.
And Gonzalez is pushed back again, right? He's going to be further away from joining the big league team, James?
The last report we got is that there has been another setback. He's dealt with shoulder issues over the last 2 years. Shoulder's a lot more scary and a lot less straightforward as far as the recovery process than elbow injuries for pitchers. And the fact that this has now set him back two separate times for something that's been a chronic issue for him, it's really worrisome. I don't know how much you can count on him to really return in any form over the rest of the season. As much as, that would be nice. That would provide some depth. Miguel's a great guy. We wish him the best, but it's looking pretty bad.
Hey, James, I'm a regular consumer of The Athletic and love your White Sox coverage, and obviously Rick Hahn does too, as he singles you out from time to time. I enjoyed your Q&A, and I don't know how you like most beat reporters are covering the team. You've got to cover like all of the minor league system as well as covering the team. So Dylan Covey has been giving us hope. He pitched so good, and his last few outings have been so bad. What can we expect happens next for the big right-hander?
It's really hard to figure. The thing that kind of defined him having a step forward at the early part of the season from how much he struggled last year was the fact that he was using his sinker a lot more, and that was kind of keeping the ball on the ground, and he showed a lot better control to kind of, make an approach where he's basically challenging guys to hit it, work by not adding extra base runners. He hasn't done either of those things his last few starts, and he's not a guy who can really have average control or worse because, he's going to be such a high-contact guy basically throwing sinkers all over the place, and if that ball can't stay out of the air, it really kind of takes away any kind of dynamic approach of, his game. So it's hard to figure. He was still throwing hard. He was like, I think he touched 96 last night. So it's weird that he wasn't getting the life and the results on it that we saw earlier in the season, given that a velo jump and, having better mechanics was the big thing that he said was triggering his hot start. But, if there's not good control, if he's not throwing that very darting, moving fastball for a strike, I don't trust their profile as much as I did, three starts ago, where I thought he's someone who's going to stick in the rotation for the rest of the year pretty easily.
Yeah, long season. We'll see. But certainly last night was not great for Dylan Covey. But the ball to me looks like, at least early in the year, maybe not so much last night, but it's darting all over the place. That to me looked like something that could carry and work for him, but we'll see. I want to talk about Charlie Tilson, James, and James Fegan from The Athletic with us here on White Sox Weekly. Still on the roster, some thought that maybe with some changes coming that Charlie wouldn't survive that, but he did. I look at him as, in a dream world, at least from Charlie's standpoint, that he turns into a leadoff hitter, speed at the top, little left-hander, Scott Podsednik type. I mean, I know I'm getting a little tall here, but what are you seeing from Charlie Tilson? I know that the batting average is solid, but he's not exactly smoking the ball all over the ballpark yet either.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be him. He's a guy, got a good hit tool. He's not going to hit for power. I don't know when the first home run is coming. His approach is not really geared towards contact and spraying the ball around. And ideally, if he maxes out and he hits 290 and maybe has a 330, 340 OBP, that's something you can put near towards the top of the order, have him run around, and maybe mitigate the fact that he doesn't hit for a lot of pop. that's kind of like a rosy projection for him. I see him more as kind of maybe a, you know, a speedy nine hitter who, you know, makes his bank on being a good defender in center field. But then last night he kind of really had a rough night in left. It's a bit of an adjustment towards center, but and he does have the speed to play center. But I see him probably more as a fourth outfielder who, you know, when you put him in, makes contact and puts the ball in play and gives you something on offense in that way. It kind of seems like a choice long term between him and Adam Engel as far as who can make themselves more valuable in a limited role. For the way Engel struggled recently, I think Kelson has the ability to win that battle, but we'll kind of see over the stretch.
So if you had to go all in it right now on one of those two, who would you pick?
Yeah, I like Tilton just because I have more trust in the bat-to-ball ability holding up over the course of the season. We've seen some good stretches from Engel, but it seems like a very high-maintenance swing that often kind of can get out of the whack if he misses a couple days. So even though he has more power and more pop when he is right, I see a little bit more consistency in Tilton.
How do you explain Yoan Moncada's defense that he'll make like an unbelievable play where everyone in the stands is standing up and then he'll like butcher a couple of ground balls?
You know, based on the fact that when he is called to play, make an incredible play, his plus athleticism and everything just kind of goes into function without thinking. And really the struggles with him are doing, remembering to kind of do basic fundamentals and routine plays. And that's something that can kind of lapse when he's not, you know, at full concentration. You know, when you have to make a diving play, you know, everything kind of kicks in the gear, your instincts take over. And that's not something that necessarily gets triggered when he's, you know, just remembering to put his body in front of a basic hopper to him. And, you know, Renteria stressed it, and he's acknowledged that it was a problem the last time I talked to him about it. But for some reason, it's still going on. Perhaps it's, you know, his offense kind of weighing on him a little bit in the field. He says no, but yeah, at this point, he really can't, you know, dismiss any doubts of his play. It's got to just become more consistent.
You know, the White Sox have in the past rushed guys up from college to the bigs. And Nick Madrigal looked great this year. Might have been the best hitter in all of college baseball. His team rallied back to win the College World Series. He's a second baseman. I mean, is there any way they're going to, like, move Moncada over to third anytime soon? Or do you see Moncada's future at second base?
You know, it's really dicey because I know that's a huge comfort zone level thing for Moncada to stay at second base. He's reiterated multiple times. He's usually a guy who tries to not put himself on a firm position and, you know, be deferential, but he's been very clear that he wants to stick at second base. He thought he was blocked in Boston because of Dustin Pedroia, so he's a little happy about the trade because he thought he'd get to play second base. He should have the arm for third base. He has the strength to do it in a way that Nick Madrigal doesn't. Throwing arm is kind of the demerit on Nick Madrigal's defensive profile, which is otherwise excellent. So in an ideal world, I think Moncada is able to handle that adjustment. Whether or not they'll ever be in a position to have him make it, whether or not, you know, Nick Madrigal will move as quickly as they absolutely think he will, or that Moncada will, you know, we'll be thinking about him the same way as a cornerstone from 2 years from now is not certain. And because of that, you don't necessarily make that decision just yet. You know, they're going to put out Nick Madrigal at shortstop to start out in the minor leagues from talking to Nick Hostetler right after draft night. So we'll kind of see how that develops for a little bit. And maybe Tim Anderson's the guy they're asking to move, but it's definitely something to watch over the next 2 years to see how that develops and where they're at.
James, speaking of the Athletic with us here for a couple more minutes on White Sox Weekly 720 WGN. I think you get the same sense that I do, James, being around the White Sox as much as you are, that they love Jose Abreu. I mean, you'd have to be, it's obvious. I mean, everybody talks about it from Rick Hahn to Ricky Renteria to in the dugout. But then there's also rumors, and Colorado may or may not be interested in Jose Abreu, and the Sox, of course, are in the middle of this rebuild. Do you see any scenario where the Sox get bowled over and they move him?
No, not really. After, you know, this offseason didn't come to pass with that, when he was at the height of his value, you know, when he wasn't in the middle of a month-long slump like he's currently been, when he was 6 months younger than he is now, they still couldn't really get up offers to the value that the White Sox wanted. So I really don't think with the White Sox, holding him in extremely high regard as like a franchise player, that the offers are all of a sudden going to rise up to the level that's going to pry him loose if it didn't work out in December.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the Sox are considering making Matt Davidson their closer?
I will go all in pushing this rumor until I get vehement denials about it. But he's got a wipeout splitter. They should put him back there.
We haven't talked about it on the show last night. If you missed it, the Sox lost 11-3 last night. The highlight of the game was Matt Davidson coming in the eighth inning. Gets a 1-2-3 inning, strikes out Rougned Odor, if memory serves, to end it on a nasty. You think it was a split, James? I was thinking it was a curveball. Whatever it was impressive. And he's throwing a 92 mile an hour fastball. He's then throwing whatever that thing was at 72. I actually would be interested in let's do some Shohei Ohtani here. It's a rebuild. Why not have Davidson available in the pen a day or two a week? What do you think?
I mean, it'd be. I guess it's whether they think he'd be up to it as conditioning wise. I know it's a lot of bear to handle as far as the workload and preparing for it. I think he's someone who's very focused on his hitting right now, probably. But yeah, he was a dominant high school pitcher. Benetti tweeted out earlier today that Davidson confirmed it was a splitter, but he set it up in sequencing. He ran it high with 92 and then threw a splitter with drop. It was perfect. So it'd be interesting.
And for the record, I was joking.
I'm not.
It doesn't sound like he's joking.
He was setting. It was obvious. I'm like, he's going to throw that whatever. Uh-huh. I guess it was a splitter. Okay, he's going to throw the splitter again here because it was obvious that he was actually setting things up. I'm going to go high. And Matt Davidson was awesome last night.
Hey, we love Carson Fulmer on this show. What's look in your crystal baseball, please, James? What happens to Carson Fulmer?
He winds up as a pretty good seventh, eighth inning guy. He's got good stuff. He has a good cutter that he throws a lot of sink and drop. If he just focuses on those two pitches, just running his four seamer as much movement as he has, he'll probably be good in short bursts. You run it up to 94, 95, and when he has control problems and kind of winds himself out after one or two hitters, it doesn't wreck your night or throw off all your plans because he's a short reliever.
James, you do great work, man. We love having you on. Give me one name that you think will be moved at the deadline before you go.
As much as he's been a great guy to deal with and has been great down the stretch, Story is on an expiring deal, and he's a very known commodity throughout baseball. There should be sufficient offers for him.
Fair enough. Makes sense. All right. James, we'll talk to you again soon.
That's
we appreciate it.
That's when you move your guy Davidson into the closer role,
right?
Carm, when Soria gets dealt.
Good thinking, Harry.
Sounds good.
James, enjoy your day. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks for having me.
James Fagan, The Athletic. Check him out. Subscribe. Live the dream. That's true. Soria's going to go.
I mean, he's got to go. He should be. Rick Hahn should be offering everybody up.
Well, sure. The thing about trading Soria, though, I wonder if you package Soria with, say, a Shields or whoever. You do a similar deal to what they did with the Yankees last year where they were able to get Blake Rutherford, mm-hmm. who's having a nice season. They packaged basically the whole bullpen, Tommy Canley and David Robertson.
Right.
So I who knows what will happen at the deadline. But and I don't think they'll be as active as they were last year. But I do expect some activity.
And Todd Frazier in that deal?
Todd Frazier was in that deal. Todd Frazier. Good man, decent. Head to the ballpark for Dollar Hot Dogs. That is on Wednesdays. You can take advantage of this unbeatable deal on July 11th as the Sox take on the St. Louis Cardinals at 7:10 p.m. It's brought to you by Securian Financial, who can help you make every moment count. Find out more at Securian, SECURIAN.com. For tickets, visit whitesox.com/dollardogs today.
Missouri Week continues at Guaranteed Rate Field. Join us Saturday, July 14th as the Sox take on the Royals at 1:10 p.m. for a 93 reunion featuring Ozzy, Bo, Reigns, and more. The first 20,000 fans take home a commemorative 93 authentic fan pennant presented by NBC Sports Chicago. Purchase your tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME.
Quick timeout coming on back. We're going to give you our text question of the day. We want your participation. That is next, 720 WGN.
The 1-2 pitch to Odor. Talk about swinging. Davidson comes out of the bullpen here in the eighth and works a 1-2-3-8.
Yeah, there he was, Matt Davidson, last night. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. We'll talk to Daniel Palka coming up after 5:30, which is, by the way, our text question sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. It's a very simple one here, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
should the White Sox, and Matt Davidson for that matter, should they consider making him at least a part-time reliever, considering how well he did last night going 1-2-3? You have the option to play around with things right now. Matt Davidson, as James Fegan of The Athletic reminded us, was a stud throwing the ball on the mound in high school. Looked good last night. Maybe the White Sox should consider Davidson in the pen.
Well, it's a fun question, but I assume we ask it tongue-in-cheek. Matt Davidson has really come around this year, and I would not want him to do anything counterproductive to his offensive success. I'd like to see him play a little more infield.
Well, in...
I mean, I think knowing where they are in the standings, I would like to see, you know, Matt Davidson get a whole bunch more games where he's not the DH. But, I, you know, look, he was pretty good last night, okay? Fun to watch. You always like it when a guy comes out of the, you know, a position player comes out and throws off the mound and does well. But you cannot, like, screw up this guy who could be, you know, your top RBI guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think the White Sox are looking at Matt Davidson long-term as somebody who's going to necessarily be their DH of the future. Maybe he will be.
Well, let's hope.
But I think all options could be on the table here. I really don't think it's that crazy. I mean, I would say it's likely that he could do it, but...
Well, Otani certainly, you know, brings that thought up.
Yeah, I just don't get it. The best players on your high school baseball team.
Right.
A lot of them were pitchers.
And college as well.
Yeah, and they could hit.
Right.
So for whatever reason they get to the big leagues and it becomes so much specialization. I think as we play this thing forward, there's going to be more Shohei Ohtani's out there. Now, of course, he's dealing with an injury, and there's
that. Right. He's been cleared to hit, so he is hitting again.
Right.
You know, Rick Ankiel comes to mind as a guy.
There's another guy
who went from being a pitcher, and then he got the yips, and they made him an outfielder. He did pretty good as an outfielder.
He had a good career.
Right. But there's also, you know, for every Rick Ankiel, there's 12 Brooks Kieschnicks.
There's another guy who maybe could have done it. It didn't work out for him, but he was in the mix. Hey, White Sox fans, join us for Country Music Night as the White Sox take on the Toronto Blue Jays on Friday, July 27th at 7:10 p.m. Love Country Music Night. Be sure to stay after the game for a post-game fireworks show presented by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, taste the feeling. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com.
Considering it's against the Blue Jays, shouldn't that be different Country Night?
Ooh, Harry. You ever been to Toronto?
I have not. I've been to Montreal.
Okay,
I've never been to Toronto.
I've been in either. I'd love to go. Maybe we can take a trip. Me and you, the odd couple, goes to Canada.
I hear it's the most cosmopolitan city in Canada, but I hear the place to go is Vancouver.
Oh, well, we could do that too.
All the Blackhawks say Vancouver's where you want to go.
All right, let's get a quick timeout, get you into news, and then Daniel Palka, 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly continuing till the top of the hour, and then Harry and I will be with you with the beat from 6 until 7:30. That takes you up to pregame. Andy Mazur will take you into the ballgame tonight, White Sox and the Rangers, a little bit after 8 o'clock.
Friday the 13th can be very lucky, especially if you come see your Chicago White Sox take on the Kansas City Royals Friday, July 13th at 7:10 p.m. All fans invited to stay for the best post-game fireworks show in baseball presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Bring your business home with Village of Bedford Park and win big. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME.
So we had a conversation this week with Daniel Palka, 26 years old, born in Greenville, South Carolina. And interesting path to the big leagues for Palka. He was originally drafted by the Phillies in the 19th round, chose to go to school, went to Georgia Tech. He'll talk about some of that and making that decision. And then eventually with the Diamondbacks got drafted and moved on to the Minnesota Twins, who let him go, and then the White Sox picked him up, and now in the mix in the outfield, DH. I actually have high hopes for Daniel Palka. The guy has the exit velocity, Harry. He hits the ball very hard, which is a good thing.
Yeah, he does. He can hammer the ball.
So, and he's still working on the outfield. Everybody knows that, but I think the athletic talent is there. I mean, he's not a burner, But the work ethic is there, and I think the coordination is there, so we'll see. But so anyway, I sat down with him this week, and we started out the conversation because his name is Daniel. So I wanted to know, you know, what do they call him? Are you a Daniel? Are you a Dan? Are you a Danny? All that. And so here's our conversation with Daniel Palka.
Most people would just call me Palka. I mean, it anywhere from, it's more Dan than Daniel, but nothing crazy.
Growing up, your parents?
Parents call me, they both call me Daniel. All grandparents call me Danny. So, it just depends, I guess, on the age range. The older people call me Danny, middle Daniel, and then all my boys call me Dan.
Your teachers?
I don't even remember. I have no idea. I guess it was Daniel.
I don't know why this is interesting to me, but like Daniel to me, if I was a Daniel, I feel like that would make me sit up straight and, oh, I did something wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it was more the stern Dan was when I was in trouble. But yeah, no, Daniel was just kind of whatever.
Did you get in trouble as a kid? Were you a rabble rouser, as perhaps they said back in the day?
No, I didn't. I mean, I got to learn from my older siblings, so I kind of knew how to avoid getting in real trouble, and you know, got my way out of most situations.
And where do you fall in the sibling hierarchy?
I got an older brother and an older sister, so I'm the youngest of the three.
So did you feel like you could get away with anything? I'm the youngest, too. I feel like I could have basically done anything. It would have been all right.
No, I definitely couldn't do that. But I definitely knew what to do and what not to do. So,
were you, I look at you, I see football player. Like, were you a football player as a kid at all? Was that on the radar? I mean, you're a South Carolina guy, which like, adds on to that.
I played a little bit. But I kind of shut it down once I started getting serious offers from baseball, and I kind of knew the way for me to pay for school is going to be baseball and not football or basketball.
When did you know that you had the talent to do it?
I started getting offers in ninth grade, and then I kept dabbling in other sports, but then I guess around 11th grade I was kind of just focusing on baseball at that point.
Did you pitch at all as a kid?
Yeah, I pitched all through high school. I pitched in college, but the bat kind of outweighed the pitching.
So let's talk about this opportunity with the White Sox. I mean, you couldn't have known, if we go back to February, that you would be here, and now you're up in the big leagues, and guys have, you know, it's opened up where you've got an opportunity. How are you feeling about where you're at?
I feel good. I mean, it's a long season, and, you know, even if you don't start out here, you know that there's going to be opportunities throughout the season, you know, whatever happens. So I kind of just kept that in mind. You know, control what I can and take the opportunity when it comes.
So, everyone talks about your exit velocity. Palka is one of the top five guys as far as how hard you hit the baseball. When you see that reaction, feel proud. I mean, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah, I think most of the time when people are talking about it, I try to act like I'm not impressed. But I mean, I've always hit the ball hard, but. I mean, it's cool to see your name with some of these guys.
How are you guys in the outfield balancing being great teammates to we're all fighting for the same thing?
I mean, ultimately, I think the only thing we care about right now is winning. And it doesn't matter who it is. If they're going to contribute to the win, you want to see that. So that's the only thing in our mind is winning. You know, we're not thinking about competition or anything like that. I mean, of course, that's always in the back of your mind, but we want to win. And if your closest competition is the guy hitting, then you better be cheering for him, or else some of the boys are going to be coming after you.
Flat out bad teammate, right? But there's also human nature in there too. Like, you know, your livelihood's on the line. It's, I mean, not to out myself, but I can remember just playing high school baseball. Guys that were ahead of me, I wouldn't, in my heart, I wouldn't want to do well. I mean, it's different here. You guys are a little bit more professional than that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the way I think of it is, if I'm 0 for 4 and we win, then I'm happy in the locker room. If I'm getting a couple hits and we still lose, and then it's lose-lose, you know, so.
Left field or right field? Where are you more comfortable right now? Obviously, gotten more action in right so far this year.
Both. I mean, I played a steady amount of both the past 2 years. I've been all in right this year, but I think that's just kind of because of the guys we got out there. But I have no preference, like either one.
What somebody asked you, what's Ricky Renteria like? How has he helped you? What would you say?
I mean, he's a grinder. Like I was talking about winning. That's all we want to do. Yeah, he wants to what do you call it? To, you know, develop us as players still, because, you know, this being a little bit of a rebuild year and everything. But at the same time, he expects the best out of you, because we have the best in us. And I mean, it's nice to hear him, you know, not ever doubt you. You know, you always know Ricky's got your back.
And working with Todd, what when you guys are in the cage, I saw you again there before, what's he preaching?
Not as much preaching, just maintaining stuff. You know, nothing mechanical or anything like that. Just getting our work in for the day.
And you're also lockering right by Yolmer, who tried to put himself into a duffel bag today, apparently for your road trip. That dude's wild.
Yeah, he's pretty wild. It's something every day. It's awesome. It's awesome hanging out with him. Even when I wasn't with the White Sox, I remember last year watching on TV, I'd be like, this dude's hilarious. And the way he plays is fun.
My guy, Daniel Palka. We got part two coming up here. Harry, Dan, Daniel, Danny. You want to change Dan Long's name to Danny after that comment?
Yes, I'm inspired by it. My brother is Danny, and you know, I'm a big fan of my brother Danny. And if somebody says, "Hey, you know, I'm a good friend of your brother Dan's," I know they're not really, because if they were a good friend of my brother Dan's, they would refer to him as Danny.
Which is why I was trying to get on the level with Palka.
Yeah, I like what you did there.
Yeah,
communicated, so. Connected. I like the football stuff.
Right, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, how does a guy like that on a baseball field?
Yeah.
Greenville, South Carolina?
Got me thinking, like, who's my favorite 18 in White Sox history?
Yeah, who'd you come up with?
Well, there's several choices, you know. I mean, you got your Cliff Polite was on the 2005 championship team. You got your Brett Lillibridge. When I was a kid, Pat Kelly. Pat Kelly had, like, 5 home runs and hit cleanup for the Sox. Not good. He had a black bat, and he called it his soul pole.
You got a lot of power up there in between those two ears. Rocking a Cliff Polite out of nowhere. That's awesome. Good job, Harry.
How about the soul pole?
Okay. Sure, absolutely. All right. We'll have a little bit more with Daniel Palka coming up. Dan Palka, actually, as we just learned, Palka.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal.
Yeah, Danny Long, our executive producer, prepared.
Yes, he did. That's next, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Harry, there were 39 White Sox players to wear 18.
Oh, nice.
39 of them. So you,
Dan, and one manager.
Who wore it as a manager?
Terry Bevington.
Terry Bevington wore 18?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I spent a lot of time with Bev.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I used to host the manager's show on Friday night from the Bullpen Bar, produced by Mitch Rosen.
That's just a tremendous name drop right there. So you're telling me that you, Mitch Rosen, and Terry Bevington used to hang out on Friday nights at the Bullpen Bar?
Yeah, yes.
How'd you get along with Bevington?
I like Bevington. Bev would ask me like what they're saying about certain things. He was very concerned about like feedback and how certain things were being viewed.
Well.
And then he'd ask me a baseball question every once in a while. Like, he'd say, should I play Paco more? Norberto Martin.
I love Norberto Martin. Norberto Martin. 18, Daniel Palka this year. Who wore it last year?
Oh, God. Who wore it last year?
Played for both the White Sox and the Cubs.
Played for both the White Sox and the Cubs last year.
Not last year, in his career. Behind the plate, Giovanni Soto.
NL Rookie of the Year.
Before that, Tyler Saladino.
Yeah, I like Tyler. He was doing well with the Brewers before he got hurt.
Yeah. Brett Lillibridge, 2009 to 2012. Him. Orlando Cabrera in 2008. Cliff Polite, who you also mentioned, 04 to 06. Brian Giles in 86. Ron Pruitt in 80. Claudel Washington, 78 to 80.
Claudel Washington was such a great player. When he was with Oakland, and then when he came to the side, I mean, you thought Claudel Washington was going to, he had no ceiling, just didn't follow through.
Yeah, one of my first memories as a kid was watching Claudel Washington. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed him. Don't remember Royal Stillman in 76.
I remember Royal Stillman.
There you go. Pat Kelly from 71 to 76.
So
you mentioned
full.
Him. Rocky Calavito.
Rocky Calavito.
Warden 67. So there you go. Jim King also Warden 67. Two guys Warden 1967, Harry.
Well, you think Palco will be wearing it? Palco will be wearing it for a while?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I would think he'll be wearing it for at least next year. But a lot of guys in flux, I would say, right now with the White Sox and how the future looks. Herb Score, 1960 to 1960.
Herb Score, jeez, way back machine.
Yeah. All right, part two of the Palka. He plays a lot of Mario Kart, Harry. They like to, you know, baseball players, they like video games. So I asked him, well, who beats you in Mario Kart? Here's Daniel's answer. Who beats you in Mario Kart every day?
Nobody. I'm the best at Mario Kart.
Are you lying?
No.
Delmonico is very adamant that you're lying here.
Every facet of the game, every facet of Nintendo 64, I'm the best at it.
Did you grow up playing video games?
No. I'm just the best. I played for the first time against him in Cleveland, and I came in first every single time because I'm the best at it.
Let's go. Toughest pitcher you faced this year? Were you like, whoa, I didn't expect that type of level. That's something I haven't seen before.
I'd say Kluber, after he gave me a couple cookies to hit and I missed them, and then I think he kind of was like, yeah, he missed these, I'm gonna give him a little something else, and he's thrown me some pretty good pitches. But Sale too. I mean, I feel like every time some dude makes an achievement on the mound, of course, Sale's hardest pitch he ever threw was to me, and I'm like, thanks, man. Sale and Kluber gave me some tough times, but.
Have you taken BP against Ricky?
Yeah, every day.
My understanding is that he's just incredible at throwing BP, like every time it's right down, wherever he wants it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's about as good as it gets. I'm actually pretty pissed off if I'm not in his group for the day. So he's always group one and two, and it's pretty impressive that he's out here every day doing group one and two, because, I mean, you just don't see that. So
does that add on? Like, I'm sitting there thinking, if I was a young player, that's my manager, he's pitching BP to me, I'd want to impress him. Or is that just, I mean, he's got to know that you obviously can hit BP.
Yeah, no, he knows. I mean, that's the last thing, is he needs to watch his BP. But, I mean, it is fun having the manager throw to you. I remember rookie ball all the way to here. I don't know what it is, but when the manager's throwing to you, it's just always, they're always the best ones, too. So.
Last one, let's just rewind all the way back to your 19th round draft pick of the Phillies. You decide to go to school, and then you end up with Arizona and wind your way to the White Sox. Do you regret not going pro at that point, or were you happy you made the college choice?
No, I'm happy I made the college choice. I mean, just going back every offseason to Georgia Tech, we work out there. We got about 20 dudes that we get to go on the field every day. And, I mean, they prepared me as good as you possibly can to go pro. Plus, I'm getting one of the best educations in the world going there. So, I got no regrets whatsoever with that.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, a high school player is listening right now, and he would be in that 15 to whatever, 25-round range, or even higher. It doesn't even matter. What's your advice as far as making that decision from choosing to go and play pro right away or going to college?
I know everybody says, like, life-changing money is the decision maker, but at the same time, if, I feel like if you're physically, if you know you're physically not ready, if you know you're mentally not ready, then ultimately, yeah, you're making a quick investment in yourself, but it's that's not a long-term investment. And for me, school was the long-term investment, having those 3 years to be under a strength coach and, you know, have to be on my own time and make my own schedules. That was huge for me because, I mean, I didn't even see it when I got into rookie ball. Some of the high school kids just have no idea what's going on. They don't know what's going on in the real world. And it's funny that just a year of school can ingrain that into you.
Is it a huge adjustment going from aluminum to the wood?
Nah, because we played played every summer with wood. And then on top of that, we were using wood bats all fall. I mean, you know how it is now. You got 12-year-olds using wooden bats. So it wasn't a big change.
All right. Appreciate the time. Sweat One Sox fans, see you. You getting recognized yet? Are we getting some recognition on the streets?
I've had I hopped in a cab. It's the only time the dude was like, I was at your game today, and then he goes, I had one of your the first thing he said to me was, I had one of your teammates in my car a couple years ago. I'm like, what's he talking about? And he goes, Big Game James. And I started dying laughing because I never knew Shields that well, but then it's like all of a sudden I got this cab driver saying, yeah, Big Game was in my car. My agent's asked me, he's like, how's Big Game James? And then all of a sudden I see my brother, who's not even an avid baseball fan, and he's like, so what's Big Game James doing? And I'm like, how does everybody know this? I think that's the funniest thing ever.
He may not be here forever here. I feel like his attitude walking in every day, he's a lot of life there. He's got to be enjoyable to be around.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, if anybody I've ever played with is pitching, is on the mound, I want it to be him, just because he's gonna do everything he can to get every single out of the game.
What's up with that Hawaiian tank top he wears? He's got that surfer company. I asked him about it. He's got some like special surfer company thing. He wears it every day. I wonder if that thing ever gets a wash.
Probably not. I mean, it's during the season. I don't think many of us wash anything. So it's probably pretty grimy.
What's the most nasty thing you got laying around then?
I got a whole suitcase full of dirty clothes. And then I decided once I got here I needed to upgrade my clothing just a tad bit. So I just left the dirty clothes in that one suitcase and hadn't worn them since. That thing's probably rotten right now.
That's awesome. Well, you can just throw the whole thing out. You're a big leaguer. Danny, great to talk to you, Palco. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.